Go ahead and open your Bibles to John 14. I'm going to look just a few scriptures, because what he's having me do right now is review, go over again, share some things that I learned from him during that early days of the ugly building where I would go and pray and learn to hear his voice. And we're going into revival, and it's going to be a real revival. Not the kind that man schedules. You know, I grew up with those. Revival begins Wednesday night at 7, ends Friday night at 10, you know. We're not, and God bless them. I understand, you know, what they're doing, but that's not what we're after, is it? No, we're after the kind where we have virtually no control at all. It's the Holy Spirit, and the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And we're going to have a hard time following. You have a hard time following somebody that you can't hear, you know. Now, Jesus, or in John 14, keep your place there. Just back up to John 5. We'll just review it real quick. Because what I'm going to do, I'm just going to share with you a couple of things again from that period of time. And I'm having to pray because I know the time is short. There's way more than I can share if I had a lot of time. But we're coming into the year of power, and I know that the season is really going to change. The season is really going to change, okay? So I'm having to pray and find out, well, what is it that you want me to share and whatnot to prepare us specifically. I mean, I'm not just going in there and picking and choosing things, you know. So what I'm doing is sharing, trying to get all of us, and me too, where I hear him better. And see better what the Father's doing so that we can follow him through revival. I want to follow him, and you do too, okay? So this is how he said he did it, John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That has a twofold meaning. For years, I thought all it meant was that he couldn't do a miracle on his own. And it does mean that. Now, that statement will get you thrown out of most churches that I grew up in. But the truth of it is, Jesus lived for 30 years and never did a miracle. Why? He couldn't. Boy, I can almost feel the prophet rocks coming, you know. You know, no, he couldn't either. Because the new nature is not designed to do miracles. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the miracles. He says over and over, it's not me, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. It's not me doing the works. He, by his hand outstretched, which is the Holy Spirit, he doeth the works, okay? But the real meaning here is what he's, I mean, that's true, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he's really saying is here, I don't decide on my own what to do. I don't decide what to do. I don't take it upon myself to decide what it is the Father wants done. Well, then how do you do it? Well, he says the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. All right, so then it's going over to in the same chapter down to verse 30. So we know he's part of it, part of how he followed the Father, or part of how he obeyed the Father, or part of how the Father used him in ministry, he would see what the Father would do. Well, that's available to us. Paul saw in a vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. Same kind of thing. So you'd know what to do, right? So verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. He said it again. That means exactly what it did earlier. Now, I can't do the miracle. Plus, I'm not deciding what miracles to do. I'm not the one coming up with the agenda. Can I say it that way? I'm not the one coming up with the agenda. As I hear, I judge. Yes, I'm going to follow him. Now, see, even in business, right there, he reminded me again of what James said. Go to now, you men, you businessmen who say, we're going to go into such and such a city. We're going to stay a year. We're going to trade and make gain. He says, all such boasting is evil. It's all pride. All of it. Now, what you should say is if the Lord wills, and I love how this is worded, if the Lord wills, we'll live. It doesn't get a whole lot more basic. Let's start right there. Let's sweep everything off the table. We got a clean table. If the Lord wills, we'll live. We start there. Whoa, how basic is that? Then, well, if he wills, we'll do this or that. See? Well, same thing here. Jesus is going, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Man. Well, that's how we're going to do it too. We're not going to do it some other way. I mean, man is real good at coming up with his own plan. Most major ministries, I'm just got to tell you now, is man following his own plan. Now, it's not that God doesn't give them some help along the way when they'll listen. But most of it, okay. I don't want to add anything there. All right, so now come over to John 14. Holy Spirit's nicer than I am. And you ought to be thankful for that. And that we've gone over this so many times. But what I have tonight is going to take long. I just want to refresh your memory what we're really doing here. Jesus, he did not intend for you to have to lead yourself. He did not intend for you to have to decide what your calling is. He did not intend for you to have to come up with your plan on how to fulfill his call. No, he says, I'm going to send you somebody. The disciples didn't have to come up with that. They followed him. He decided every day where we're going to go. He decided what we're going to do. What? Okay. And I just said that all wrong. The Father decided every day. But as far as they were concerned, it was the Lord telling them. And he was getting his instruction from the Father, and then they were getting their instruction from him. Do you know it's not changed just a whole lot? He is still the head of the church. You know, I don't want to be going here and there on Gary's plan. You know, he'll bless me if I do that. He'll bless me all that he can. I don't want to be out there leading myself. I want to be following. I want him to lead. Mm-hmm. So he says, John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Well, who is that, Jesus? Well, even the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And that Greek word again is orphanos, O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. I will not leave you as orphans. Tons of revelation right there. An orphan does have to find his own way. He's got nobody to lead him. He's got nobody to provide for him. There is no safety. He's on his own. And he's going, I'm not going to leave you to be on your own. I'm not going to lead you as an orphan. I'm going to send you somebody. And I love the name, the Comforter. Not the accuser, not the condemner, not the taskmaster, the Comforter. I like that. And through that process, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But how he comes to us is by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now go over to 16, and then we'll get into tonight's lesson. Verse 12, John 16, 12. Now again, when he spoke this, none of these men were born again yet. And he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He had brought them as far as he could, dealing with the minds of natural men. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're not going to go there, but it plainly tells you now that we've received the Spirit of God, now we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man, he can't receive them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Well, Jesus is telling them, I brought you as far as I can. I have a lot of things still to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. They had no capacity because they did not have a spirit on the inside of them to be taught. You have a spirit on the inside of you that can be taught the things of the Spirit of God. I have one on the inside of me, and it's just a matter of hearing and obeying. So he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. See, I see that realm again right now. Here we go, the hula hoop. Everything I do anymore, I see that image again on the inside of me. what he's really talking about, he's going, the realm that I'm operating from, this kingdom realm that you can't see and you can't touch, but you're from there. You're going to be from there. They weren't at this moment. You that I'm talking to in this room and around the world, if you're born again, you're from there. Your spirit is from there. And if God was to ask me my counsel, I would say, God, you got your plan all wrong. You should take us there. As soon as we get born again, just take us there where we're free of all his influence. Train us there and then send us back. But apparently that's not possible. So what he did, rather than that, he gave us a spirit from there. And then he sent us a teacher from there. Since we can't go there to be trained, he sent the trainer from there to here to train us. And then he raised up this man by the name of Dave Roberson to teach us how the training is done. Glory to God. I love how Dave used to say, at least give me my shot. He says, don't lock me up in religion where I have no access to the Holy Ghost. And I'm at the mercy of limited men who have limited God. He said, give me my shot. Give me my day. Turn me loose with the Holy Ghost. And then if I don't do it, it's on me. Because I can spend as much time with him as I choose to spend with him. I'm preaching good now. I can tell when I'm preaching good. Verse 13 again. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It says almost the same thing. He shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit's not even deciding. Who is deciding? The Father. But the Holy Spirit, he's not come to be your Lord. He's not come to replace the ministry of Jesus. He's come to bring us the Lordship of Jesus. We have access to the mind of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me. Another word for glorify. Now this is not, okay. This is a Garyism. When Jesus said, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. What did he mean by that? I have demonstrated you. I have allowed you to make yourself seen. We, by the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to make Jesus seen on the earth. To where the point they're going to have to say, these men and women have been with Jesus. That's real good right there. He shall glorify me. He shall make manifest me through you. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. We're joint heirs. All right. Going to get into this. These are two of the lessons that I wrote during that time. Again, I call it the listening post. And really what it was days and, I mean, hours and hours and days and weeks that I spent at the ugly building practicing and doing the two-tape message by Pastor Dave Roberson called Distinguishing God's Voice. I didn't just do that. I mean, I would read some of the time. I would walk and just pray in tongues quite a bit. I would worship part of that time. There is no formula to it. I'm just trying to get to know God. Can we say that? But boy, a big chunk of it was praying in other tongues. And I would, like Dave said it in the, if you've heard those tapes, pray in tongues, then cleave your tongue to the roof of your mouth. And that's the way he said it, cleave your tongue. And so I would do that and then I'd listen. Then I learned though, after a while, this isn't on those tapes, but I learned after a while, if I would continue to pray softly in tongues, I could still hear them. Even though I wasn't saying it out loud enough to even, it's like this. I don't know if that's even picking up on the recorder. So mild you can't really hear it, but I could hear it on the inside. I can hear it now. That's where I learned that, oh, I can monitor the ear of my spirit for hours at a time, which is really boring. If nothing's being spoken in English. But you become very well practiced at locating that place in you where the Holy Spirit communicates. So during that same season here now, there's two of them I'm going to read tonight. The first one I call Anointing Illustrated. Normally, I don't share the full version of this because the last half of it is very specific to me. It talks about my engineering training and things like that. But for this teaching season, I feel like he's saying I need to share those things. Because in the same way he'll talk to me in light of the training I've had, he'll talk to you in the light of the training you've had. I mean, I don't care what your experience is. I don't care what your education is. It may be minimal. It may be a lot. But whatever you've had in your life, he uses it all. He uses it all in his kingdom. Okay? So this one's called Anointing Illustrated. When I listen to these myself, sometimes I have a hard time telling when I quit reading and when I start commenting. So I'm going to try and make a distinction when I do that on here. Quote, "For there has not been anyone who has sought the communion and the fellowship of the Spirit of the living God, who has not received training, line upon line, precept upon precept, that brings them back to the center of the Father's will, which is the mind of Christ for them. My training is not as the world gives. My training is from that realm which is above, says the Lord. The natural mind enters these chambers of schooling with thought patterns foreign to the land from which you belong." I read these now. I know when this happened. This is before the Born Again Trail. I'm going, I'm not this smart. I didn't know these things. I'm going to read that sentence again, then I'll try not to comment so much. That won't work, but I'll try. "The natural mind enters these chambers of schooling with thought patterns foreign to the land from which you belong. Impossible, strange, bizarre. These and many other such words are the words that the carnal soul exclaims when it first enters the school of the Holy Spirit. For the limits must come off the carnal mind, that the spiritual mind may receive instruction from the Lamb who sits upon the throne. And be not hindered, and not be hindered by the protestations of the natural mind. The natural mind must be forced to sit in the classroom silent, not allowed to speak, not allowed to argue, not allowed to protest, as the spiritual mind is schooled by the Spirit of the living God." Now really, that Gary commenting, that's not a whole lot different from your children in school. They're not allowed to sit there and argue with the teacher. He's saying the same thing about your mind. Remember, he keeps comparing our natural soul to a child. Don't let it have its way. Okay? Next paragraph, quote, "And if the natural mind can be placed in this subservient role, then little by little by little, it loses its control over the decision-making process regarding what shall be in the earth. For truly Jesus is Lord of all. He alone has the authority to proclaim what shall be in the earth. But when the natural mind is still in control of the actions of his body on the earth, then it casts off the instructions that proceed from the mind of Christ as being impossible, strange, and bizarre." Gary's comments. My mind was exactly like that. What do you mean give everything away free? What? Nobody gives everything away free. I mean, what do you mean take up no offerings at these Bible studies? Everybody takes up offerings at these Bible studies. You know, I mean, it seems so strange and bizarre to me. And things that he would say to us on our journey. Now, later, fast forward a lot. What do you mean put my finger in her mouth? Well, what do you think the natural mind, if Jesus had been limited to his natural mind, when the instruction came, well, just walk across on the water. What do you think your natural mind says right there? Okay. Back to quoting. "By this method, his instruction..." Okay, I'm going to have to read it together. when the natural mind is still in control of the actions of his body and the earth. Let's just, he says things a lot better than I do. But in plain English, this is what's going on in 99.9% of the ministry on planet Earth, even in his name. Man is planning, and they just like a business, they plan, they think, they decide, we're going to have this evangelistic outreach, we're going to have a revival, it starts Wednesday night at 7, ends Friday night at 7, we're going to this and that and this and that. That is, just think of it, the natural mind directing the body of Christ. That'd be very much like the disciples telling Jesus what to do every day. And that's exactly what we're doing, for the most part. And he still blesses it all that he can. He's so kind and so good. He still blesses it. That's coming to an end. It's really coming to an end here, for sure. No, we're going to be where he says be, doing what he says do, having the results he says we'll have. Hallelujah. Try and read that sentence again. When the natural mind is still in control of the actions of his body on the earth, then it casts off the instructions that proceed from the mind of Christ as being impossible, strange, and bizarre. I went through that. Probably still going through that. By this method, his instructions go unheeded day after day, year after year, generation after generation. And for generations, even the way prescribed by the Father for bringing the natural mind under the dominion of the renewed spirit was lost. In plain English, he's talking about Pastor Dave Roberson. That's why he raised up a Pastor Dave Roberson, because the way, the body of Christ, had pretty much lost the revelation, the understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How do you train? How do you get that training? It had been lost. He says, I say these things like I haven't, you know. The next sentence says, for this reason I have raised up your pastor. I didn't get to read these again. I was just praying, and I was asking him which ones. And he, print this one, print that one, bring it. Okay. So I didn't read it before I came down. For this reason I have raised up your pastor to lay again the paving stones on the highway of transformation. Boy, that's a good tape series, right? That's a good MP3 series right there. The highway of transformation. And now the message has come to maturity. The way has been made plain for all who would seek transformation, for all who would be schooled in the ways of the Spirit, for all who would learn truly how to bring the Father's will into manifestation in the earth, by obedience to the mind of Christ, the way is known once more. See, that's what he meant that time when he said this message has come to maturity. Now, we're still learning as we go along, but anyone that wants to be trained by the Spirit, the message that was unfolded through all those years through Pastor Dave, it's mature. You can take that. If you want to be trained by the Holy Ghost, you can be trained by the Holy Ghost. Normally, right there is where I finish. When I share this with other people, normally I stop it right there. And you'll see why. Now, he's talking to me in particular, but I think it will be beneficial because he's going to talk to you in a very similar way. Now, he's talking to Gary. He says, you have been seeking premature manifestations of my power in a manner most unwise. Your heart has been crying out for manifestations of my power as a proof that I am with you. Understand this day, son. Manifestations do not produce faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God produces manifestations. That's good right there, isn't it? Many whom I've called have stumbled when they made sensationalism the cornerstone of their ministry. Think not that you are immune from the adulation, not a word I use, like people have for Hollywood entertainers, idol worship, adulation. He says, think you're not immune from that. as it's lavished by the people upon those who operate freely in the gifts. The lust of other things is the most deceitful of all the enemy's tactics, and even the most choice vessels in the house of the Lord have fallen victim when that snare was placed in front of them. You shall not be as one of those. I agree with that. Understand and know this day that you are called to more than simply operating in the gifts. Now, he's really talking about me now. But again, he's going to talk in very similar fashion to you. Okay? He's just telling me specifically, he's narrowing down for me specifically a little more what my individual... I'm going to stand before him and give account. Okay? He says, you are called to more than simply operating in the anointing. You are called to understand the anointing. As the Lamb has spoken to you, if you will see, and one reason I don't share this with most people is that it sounds arrogant. Yeah, you're going to understand the anointing. Well, sorry, it's what he said. Okay? As the Lamb has spoken unto you, now if you yield your time to me sufficiently, and I'm telling you right now, that's a big if. Pray for Gary. I will teach you all facets of the anointing. The anointing shall be no mystery to you at all. The anointing shall be completely understood, even by your natural mind. For this reason, I exhort you to be diligent, persistent, now get this, even ruthless, in your determination to bring your soul into my classrooms, and to discipline it as you would a child, to sit, be quiet, and learn. And your spirit has developed sufficiently to exercise this level of dominion over the soul. The graphic diagrams I have brought to your natural mind as you spend time allowing your spirit to commune with me are but tiny fractions of the understanding I will bring you concerning the anointing. But I have not been, I'll just confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I've not been nearly as diligent to go to that room as I should have been. I thank God for the next one that I'm going to read here called Focus on Time Remaining. It's no accident. I pray, he says, print this, print that. Then I come here and I go, you're so smart. You make me look good, but you're smart, God. It is the Lamb's desire and his call on your life that you understand the anointing to the degree that you can literally draw, as would a draftsman, all facets of the anointing. Some of it I've been able, little glimpses. Right now they look like, anyway, look like Lily's drawings, you know. Although she's getting where she draws pretty good. This training, this schooling, and even these graphics that depict the anointing, all of these things are on the path for you to walk in manifested glory. You have not yet understood the scope of the importance that your early engineering training will play in order to bring this understanding to light for the body of Christ. So be diligent to not only record my word, but be diligent to sketch and to draw, and then to refine the graphic illustration that I bring to your natural mind from the realms of the Spirit. Now, have you ever, I've never heard anything like that from other writers. I just know what he said, and it's part of my calling. I pray that I obey him and that I fulfill that part of my calling. And like Alan said this morning, just because he says it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Did you notice there was a big if? If you are diligent to bring your soul back to my classroom. It's really, it's up to me. But he's sure letting me know what his will is. I'm going to have a hard time saying, drawings on that day, standing in front of him. Drawings? You wanted what drawings? he'll just bring this right up in front of me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, see, I hope you understand the reason for me sharing that. I other than one other person in this room, I don't know that I've shared it with anyone except Sue. Because I'm not after anything from people. I'm not after that at all. Okay? But he thinks it's important right now for me to be very transparent. Because if he talks like that with me, don't you know he's going to talk like that with you? And I mean, get very specific with you. I mean, very specific what it is he's called you to do, you know? I mean, I'm looking here and what's that word? What is Dave? What's your nickname with Dave? Florence Nightingale, you know, she's got nursing and she knows all of that type of thing. Well, don't you know the Holy Spirit is going to use all of that training? You know, this lady here has all kinds of experience with horses and things in that realm, you know. Well, God's going to use every bit of that, see? Whatever, and it's not necessarily just education, it's experience, your life experience. He taught me faith from an elm tree, for crying out loud, okay? Well, boy, now this one, this is really... the older I get, the more I really cling to this one. It's called a focus on time remaining. And by the way, it was 2 days after Anointing Illustrated. And this one, I was just doing it again over at the Ugly Building, praying and listening. Finally, I began to hear it in English. And then he says, quote, Time lost. I hear the agony of your heart as you grieve over time lost. I hear you crying out to me saying, Lord, I'm not a young man, and I am so sorry for the time lost. I'll go ahead and tell you this. This was 14 years ago. So I'm 68, 58, what was I, 54? About 54? I mean, 54, my mom would say, who's 94 next month, we were still wet behind the ears. At 54. And yet here I was grieving over all this time lost, you know. And he says, it wouldn't make any difference. Now I'm 68. You know what he says to me? Same thing. Hear what he says. So I was grieving, time lost. He says, I hear you, but I say unto you this day, focus not on time lost. Focused rather on time remaining. For there is much to be done. The important part for you is that you must be diligent and persistent and even ruthless in bringing your soul to the classrooms of my spirit. I remind you again that my spirit is an excellent teacher. When given the opportunity, he is able to transform to my image very rapidly. So grieve no longer over time lost. You are forgiven. But focus rather on time remaining. Consider this. As a father, I could just see him almost put me up on his knee and he's trying to talk to me. Now consider this, you know, pat, Gary. The time will come when time shall run its course. My word declares that time shall be no more. So why do you, an eternal creature, grieve over that which is not eternal? That's a good thought right there. Isn't that a good thought? Rather than grieve over that which is temporal, focus on that which is eternal. And I am speaking of the souls of men. To focus on time lost is to be as one who beats the air, for there is nothing that can be done regarding time lost. But if you focus on time remaining and the eternal souls of men that shall be gathered into my granary, by the transformation to my image, then you will run with all diligence, bringing yourself back into the classrooms where my spirit trains. So know this day that my blood cleanses you from time lost. Walk free. Focus now on time remaining, and the souls that shall be garnered by every progression from glory to glory as you are changed into my image. You have chosen that part which is good, which shall not be taken away from you. As you continue to sit in the classrooms of my spirit, that you may learn of me. Be encouraged this day. There is more than enough time remaining. Be at peace, son. Be at peace. I think we better worship him for just a moment. Father, thank you for the blood that cleanses each and every one of us from time lost. Lord, at the end of every calling in the lost, we ask you to help us, Lord, to be stewards of the time. And Lord, we've not been that great at it. But Father, we're repenting right now for time lost. Father, every one of us, I can feel it, Lord. I can feel your cleansing power flowing through the room. Father, cleanse us, forgive us. Father, help us just start afresh like this is our first day and rolling again in the classrooms of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we shall focus on time remaining, for there is much to be done. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit and for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and restores us to perfect righteousness. From this day forward, I have never failed you regarding my time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. That's really what he had for me to share with you. I'm going to go ahead and start the confessions now. If for me to add to that would best be Gary. That's not his will. So, hallelujah.